This is the 28th day of May in the year 2022. It's a Saturday afternoon, and I'm so glad that you can come to my website. I think it's time to talk about my medical condition with you because it's growing more and more severe. And when it grows severe, it means that there could be some, not nominal changes, but tremendous changes. And a part of that change could be in me changing my location from the planet Earth into another transitional state. I've been looking at the news and seeing how people are just dying off the fly, and older people like myself getting something and leaving here. And I cannot exempt myself from that. I've said many times that I'd like to live from 95 to 100 years old, but I doubt if my body keeps breaking down at the rate that it is, and my heart, well, my left aorta is about shot. And when I asked the doc, how much time do I have if I didn't get the surgery, she said, at the most, 2 years. And I said, well, are you going to go into the chest again and open it up and try to fix it? He says, no, that may not be advisable because your heart may not be strong enough to take that. And so what they're going to try to do is put the pump in through my major artery in my groin, as they did that a couple of weeks ago, taking a look at the heart itself. So that's where I am right now. And what it's done is that it has caused me to look at my life in realistic terms. You know, you get in the habit of being retired, getting up, paying bills, paying the gardener, washing the dishes. What are you going to have for dinner? Talking with people, ministering to them. And then the thought comes in your mind, are you ready to leave the planet? Now, that's a very good thought as we handle this subject matter of moving on. Well, you don't have to be ready to leave the planet. You're going to leave it whenever your number is up. I believe this part of the Bible. The Bible says there is appointed a time for man once to die. And after that, the judgment. That's right. After he dies, he will be judged for everything that he stood for, everything good or bad. For the past couple of days, I've been really almost knocked unconscious by what's been going on the news. When I see how people are killing other people, and I think one of the most shameful things that I've experienced this week is a whole bunch of policemen outside of the classroom door while the fourth graders are texting on their phones, send help, they're shooting us. And the cops didn't do anything but stay out there for all that time. That shows me that the halo effect that American law enforcement, American jurisprudence, that is, and all of that is of no value. So I had to look at myself. John, are you still of any value? Does value count? Does philosophy count? Does ethics count? Does morality count? To the killer that killed those fourth graders and their two wonderful teachers and one of the teachers' husband, and I know because I felt it a couple of days ago when I did my last webcast, the heartbreak, the sorrow. He couldn't live beyond the point that his love was gone, and what else could he do? I kind of felt that way when Lucy died, but God still had some work for me to do. That's the only reason God left me here. But now as I look at my life, and a lot of people say, oh, Pastor John, you're still young. You're 78. You have a lot of life in you, and you can help a lot of other people. No, I think people need to pick themselves up by their own bootstraps and start helping themselves. None of us came to stay here. This is what I've been thinking on this Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, I'll probably have, like I usually do, a couple of guys come by to visit me. Okay, bring me a couple of bottles of red wine. I can only have a couple of glasses now. I got to cut down on all that. But one young man asked me a couple of days ago, you keep talking about the possibility, John, of your dying. What do you have, a death wish? No, I don't have a death wish. But listen very closely. Listen, for the years, and I wasn't brainwashed in everything that Christianity taught me. Let me tell you why. And that's why I thought that I'd do a webcast, because I think when I talk about moving on, you got to know from what perspective I'm talking about moving on. I can read about African history. First of all, I'd have to find out which tribe my family is originally from, and to trace it back thousands of years to find out what the people of that part of the continent of Africa believed when they believed in the gods of their fathers and forefathers. I don't have that information. I understand that it's relatively easy. If I went to Dr. Lewis Gates, maybe he can research my bloodline, find out what African tribe I came from. It would matter to a degree, but in 1967, God spoke to me. Religion didn't speak to me. The Baptist church didn't speak to me. The preacher didn't hold out his right hand of fellowship to me. It was in 1967 when God revealed himself to me in a supernatural way, and I responded. And in following God and responding to God, the fear of transitioning immediately left me, because I knew that the Spirit of the Most High, which was speaking to my heart, was there. I couldn't put my finger on it, but our conversation that we had, and we had multiple conversations, are as clear to me today as they were in 1967. Now, I can't weigh nor judge anyone else's faith in God. I know that there is a God that exists. And I believe that God blessed me and my wife in the most adequate ways that I could ever be proud of. I am so, so glad that I met Andalusia and that she agreed with me to be the mother of the only two offspring that I've ever sired, Delia and Leslie. Just two jewels growing up in the midst of this cesspool, Los Angeles. Over the years, I was able to meet other people who communicated to me that they believed in the very same God that I believed in. And they showed their love for God by, in some cases, providing for my life, as long as I would stay in that book, that Bible, the only book of religion that we have in this country. That is our religious mandate. That is the book. How it works, I don't know, but I've got to share this with you. It all works. No, not the difficult texts that tell you to throw your children into the fire of Moloch. No, not the difficult texts telling you to go in and kill up all the Amorites and the Jebusites and the Moabites and all that. I understand God establishing his name, Jehovah Yahweh, the Lamb of God and the Lion of Israel. I understand all of that. And I understand that there are many nations vying for the power to be the true offspring of Yahweh, Well, that's an honorable thing, but live up to that offspring. Live your life and be real. I believe that here recently, even some preachers have told me that because of my alignment with the LGBT community, that my eternity is going to be a roasting in hell. That is not the God that I served. I don't understand people that would say something like that. I just don't understand it. And then at the same time, these same people that tell me that, even into this day, are doing atrocious things that no true man of God would ever do. And so, see, this is why I'm taking my time to make this webcast, and I hope to do it until I go into the hospital, because I may become disabled. I could have a stroke. I asked the doctor, what are my chances of full recovery? And he says about 85%. I said, well, what's the 15%? He said, you could suffer a stroke while on the table because your body will physically be taking through a strain that you've never gone through before. A blood clot could come and you can die of that. And because I asked doctor, I asked a good doctor, tell me what my chances are, because what did I tell you before? I want to live until I'm 95 years old and do these webcasts over and over and over and over as our world turns more and more against believing in Yahweh God. I want to share with them that there is. And I looked at the straight people. They've rejected God. And I found an awful lot of gay people, LGBT people, that believe in Yahweh. And Yahweh made us the way he made us. There is no doubt in my mind. Let me give you a good example. Some of you men out there listening to me, you've always been in love with women. You've dreamed about marrying the right woman. You dreamed about going to bed with a woman that can satisfy you and could ring your bell or make you toot your whistle, right? Right? Are you getting it? Are you enjoying it? Are you miserable, really? Are you cheating on her? Because if you're doing that, you're wrong. You're wrong if you're cheating on her. You should tell her, you aren't tooting my whistle anymore. You aren't floating my boat anymore. And I think that's one of the biggest downfalls of American religion, the hypocrisy. Tell the person the truth. Tell them the truth. It's when I speak to my medical physician. Don't tell me things that, and you know my daughters, I love them so much. They may listen to one of my webcasts, maybe one of these days after I'm gone. I know that they're not a friend of listening to me. Oh, Daddy, you talk too much. I know, but I also know this. I know who I am. They know who I am. They know who they are. You that are listening to me, you know who you are. And every single one of us need to extol the idea of a God that is superior to us. I think in, you know, when you look at transitioning on to the other life, and I'm excited about that because I really don't know what's on the other side. No, I don't believe that in the transition life that I'm going to a place where the streets are paved with pure, luminous, see-through gold. Number one, I can't comprehend it. In my mind, it is unfathomable. And there is a Bible verse that says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men all the things that God has prepared for them. That's what I'm looking forward to. I have no idea. But let me say this for some people that may think that because we're living our lives and we're living, and I'm not talking about living on that poor young man, that poor soul that took away the lives of those 18 people those fourth graders. And man, the pain that it causes the parents, the pain that it causes all those families, the people in the communities that saw the kid when they played out in the front of the apartment or in the front yard, the other children that spoke to them on the playground, hurt for life for this issue. Now, that young man that did that, Jehovah will deal with him. Just like Jehovah is going to deal with me. If I've ever listened to me, you guys think that I'm a bad preacher because I talked about other preachers and I'm going to get mine in the end. Let me tell you something. Anytime you discredit the name of God, anytime you have God made out to be what he is not, I read in the Bible, my holy book, your holy book, if you're from America. And I just saw a special on YouTube that pointed out how many countries don't believe in God. And most of the countries that have declined in their belief in God, most of them believe in the one Yahweh. All right. It may come under different names, but they believe the same things. We're humans. We as a creation only have one deity. There's not a lot. There's not a lot of deities controlling you. You can live a certain kind of way. You can think a certain kind of way. You can eat certain kinds of foods. Your life may be expanded a few more years because you're taking care of things. But who you are is who you are. And, you know, I want to talk to my LGBT friends because I want you guys to get stronger. I love you a lot, but you've got to love yourselves. You've got to do it. Same thing for you gals out there. And then we have this new group of individuals, the transgendered. I'll tell you the truth. It took me a while to get on board with that because I did not understand it. Just like I don't understand white supremacy. I mean, I know what it is, and I know what makes it, you know, white supremacy, but it doesn't mean that I have to understand it, that I have to coincide with it. I am saying that people, and I'm talking to the LGBT people now, because I feel that my mortality may be shortened. And as long as I've already spoken with somebody about keeping this website going, but if that man is strong enough, he can do it and don't listen to the other people that will want to shut down everything that I'm saying. Because I'm telling you, once the voice that is heralding the true God that created every human being on this planet, and I cannot think that of all other religions that ever existed in the world and all of the good people that followed the faithful teachings of God, and I'm going to say it right now, because when I was in evangelicism, they taught us to be against Islam. That was wrong. That was a lie. I had Muslims come to the church that I pastored and brought teachings on Islam. I think the guy's name that helped present it was Will Patton. Will Patton was one of my young members of the church years ago, and we did an extensive study. I thought I had the VHS tapes here somewhere. I don't know what happened, but I invited him in the church. But I loved those brothers. They weren't my enemies. It was at that time that I began to formulate the idea, God is speaking to everyone, but in different languages and styles. Now, why wouldn't he speak to the LGBT community? And whenever you look at the verses that they have in the scriptures that condemn anyone in any community, it is not biblical. It is a transcript that has been tampered with. When you look at the derivative of words and meaning of words and transliteration. It does not have, and you know it if you studied the text, it does not have the same connotation. What it is you just personally don't like that. That's like you making cabbage, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, and avocado. I eat none of those. I don't care how you season them up. I don't like it. I don't want it. I reject it. It is the same way with men and women. They don't like certain religions or faiths. They go about getting in touch with God in the way they should. I believe that if you're a Muslim, a Christian, a Hindu, a Sikh, or whatever, you would have to admit that that was wicked, what that child did to those other children and those two teachers in Texas. That was wicked that the police department held back instead of putting their lives on the line like they were sworn to do, since they're getting paid public funds to protect at least the babies, to wait outside of that damn classroom that long and let that boy continue his mayhem on the lives of those people. Yes, I said it. Yes, I said it, and I'm sick of it. I used to be a chaplain for the LAPD. I prayed for the group. I stood up for the group. But when I see policemen acting like that, and then heard that some of the policemen went into the school to get their own children out because they knew what classroom their child was in, but didn't go in where the shooter was. We've lost our druthers in this country. And that's why I want to remain alive. I don't want to remain alive and so that I can live peacefully and see nice movies. I looked at scenes of the movie Hotel Mumbai when those terrorists went in there and started shooting up all their own people in India over there. And that really happened. Well, that's all. These are people with no God in their lives. See, and one of the things that we've done in this country, I'm just going to tell you, and you got to own up to it. Now, I understand where the people on the right are coming from. And I also understand where the people on the left in this country are coming from. I won't participate in your Bozo the Clown game. Because once you eliminate God, you know what? Sometimes you got to buy a weapon to protect your family. Because that frightens you. When you're living under the population that has forgotten God, then everybody's going to start doing what they think they have to do in order to make things happen in their life. I know what I'm talking about. And so I see why the right is saying, no, we're going to have guns and we're going to have automatic weapons, because when everything goes haywire and the people in the urban city thing start running out here in our rural community trying to get some of our barbecue and some of our food, we're going to blow them into pieces. Now, that's not necessarily altogether wrong, but if you buy guns and you are studying out in the woods how to kill people that's running from the city, that's coming out to the suburbs, you become a wicked person. I think that you got to check out why you're doing that. I understand the right. I understand them. That's why Mitch McConnell and the rest of them, he's ahead of the Senate on the Republican side, and the Democratic senator trying to get everybody to vote because he said we got to get more Democratic senators than Republicans so that we can outvote the right. Well, let me tell you something about you leftists out there. Because, see, that's what Karl Marx was. That's what Ho Chi Minh was. That's what that Cambodian, what's his name, Pak Nuk Pak, or whatever his damn name was. That's what the president of North Korea is all about. You know how many people those people wiped out and killed in order to see the left has to figure what they've done too. Because see, once you've blotted God out, and this is what I see in the left, this is why, hey, if I die on that table, I'm going to tell you guys something. It wouldn't bother me at all. Because you folk are not paying attention to what needs to be done. We've blotted God out. We've taken him out of the classrooms, the schoolrooms. We don't even want to say the Pledge of Allegiance to the children anymore. We used to say one nation under God. Under God. And all the children that went to grade school knew what was meant by God. The parents pushed it because we ate dinner around the table together. We don't do like they do now. I had a couple of young men over. They were visiting me a couple of nights ago. And one said, I'm hungry. And I said, I am too. I gave him my phone. I said, order something. I'll pay for it. I don't have a lot of money. I really don't. But the money that I have, and, you know, somebody get hungry, order some food. We didn't feel like cooking. We ordered that food, and it was delicious. And the man that delivered the food was like East Indian. And he said, man, I had to drive all the way over here to deliver this food. Why are y'all ordering this food from way over there where our place is to bring it over here in the city? I said, because they don't have food like you have over there. Over here, I don't want to eat grease, fried chicken, hamburgers, cheese, and all that stuff. I want to eat some healthy food. Give me some healthy Asian food. And it was delicious. We cleaned our three plates. Now, what if I had something against him that I couldn't order that Indian food? I think that's what it was. It was food from India. You see, when you live in a world that you know that God created all these people, you may not like a taste of a certain kind of food and stuff like that, and you have an option on what you can do for it. But when God is in your life, you know that there is a proportionate a purpose in everything, not like Rick Warren, purpose-driven, because you see, that was a scheme that made him a rich man. That was part of the scheme that shut down the church in America, the purpose-driven. And then when Bill Hybels and his team got to doing it, then John MacArthur, he built his Grace Community Church. We have the word. We go exegetically, verse by verse, and explain to you. Now, that did impress me. I jumped on that bandwagon quick. Because I said, now that makes sense. And I knew that most of those people are from the right, you know, very conservative Christians, believed in having your own gun, didn't believe in gay marriage and all of that, and don't believe too much in. As a matter of fact, there's been a couple of people at John's church that asked me about a black man that had graduated and got his degree from there. And I said, yes, I know the man. And one of the white boys told me, would you tell him it's time for him to move on? Because they didn't want no black man teaching them anything at Grace Community Church. Why was I told that by some of the younger administrative staff at that church? Because that's what the church harbors. Why didn't Dr. MacArthur address it? He didn't address it because that's where he gets his money from. I addressed it when I was pastoring. If you're racist here, a black one, an Hispanic one, a white one, an Asian one, you need to get up the hell out of my face because I don't want to have nothing to do with you. Of one blood, my Bible tells me, God created all the people that dwells on the face of the earth. So out of one blood, if he created all of these people, how in the hell is he going to send everybody LGBT to hell? Because he should have said, of one blood, God created all the people to dwell on the earth. But when he created the LGBT, He created them specifically so they can bust tail wide open. You know what? I got this for you. Your mama, you are really messed up. Because what you've done is you've misrepresented God. And that's what we've done in this country. That's how come when the Indians, and I mean the tribal Indians of Northern America, say, no, you can't run a pipeline through our burial grounds and our places like that because our heritage is found there. We need to listen to what they're saying. We have to listen to what they're saying. We just can't, we can stump through their things. There's oil in them, their hills. There's gold in the mountain. Forget their burial grounds and everything else. Now, you go to an all-white cemetery, you know, with the big headstones and all that stuff, and they got three or four generations of their family buried in there. You go in there and try to bulldoze that thing up, and you're going to build a rap concert up on top of that and see what kind of mess you get into. Yes, you got it now? You see, but we are not fair. Let's go back to what happened in Texas. Why didn't the police storm in that room and put their lives on the line for those babies? Huh? I was looking for how many white babies was in there. Huh? Why? Hey, what about the black people that died in the supermarket? Huh? Oh, I heard people say, oh, I'll pay for every funeral. Paying for the funeral is not going to stop the pain of knowing that, and until we address it. I'm telling you, I've been looking at this situation for the past 2 weeks as my health is deteriorating. And one young man asked me, Kalen asked me, he said, oh man, why are you looking all down? Why are you looking distraught? Why? I said, because I have lived long enough to see people that I thought were decent individuals only turn out to be asinine in what they're doing. And I, and people even tell me, why do you still? I even helped a young man out today. The young man was supposed to come by to see me, but I'm not feeling up to it. And I told him, no, you can't come by, but I'll send you a few dollars. And I did. Why do I do that? Why do I do that? It's because money, and I'm going to, hey, listen, because I was on a Zoom meeting last Tuesday with two other gay pastors, and we were talking about the life of a pastor, and we were talking about the comparison of how people live next to their pastor. And I told them that I've never made a lot of money and I've never desired a mansion and riches and all that. One of the pastors disagreed with me and said, I want that. He said, oh, that's on John if he don't want it, but I want that. But see, the Bible that I read, the Old T prophets and the New T apostles and teachers, were not rich men. As a matter of fact, all of them died paupers. And so when I see a preacher talk to me today, telling me that he wants all of that, well, he can only get it from one person. And that's from the people that it belongs to. And he has to figure out a plan to tell them how to give it up, to give it to him. That is not the faith that makes our transitioning an easy one. Because, see, if I left here, one of the things that the young preacher said is, we preachers, they don't even give the black preacher a decent retirement. Right. I didn't have one. I'm living off my deceased wife's Social Security. But guess what? Since God had me married her and give her a beautiful life, because she didn't get deported, I send back to the islands, and she had a job that incurred Social Security, God knew, listen, this is the God that I worship and serve. God knew that I would be here longer than her, and because of the system that I'm living in, I am literally living off of what she procured for me all those many years ago. Tell me there is no God. And from that blessing, or from that stipend, I am able to help other people as they struggle through living their lives. And that is what it is all about. It is about helping other people. It is not necessarily about having it all for yourself. It has never been about having it all for yourself, and so that you can build up, build up my accounts. What you want to do is do that, and so therefore, as I think of moving on, these are the things that are going through my mind these days. And while I'm doing this webcast, I am suffering events while I'm talking to you presently. But you don't hear me crying out. You don't hear me saying anything. Why? Because it is more important for me to give you this information and so that you can have it. I want you to get into the habit, friends, of being real with yourself. First of all, with yourself, and then with your family, very close friends, and everybody that you're in contact with. We were getting ready to watch a movie a couple of nights ago, had a couple of friends by. I had rented a movie and said, yeah, come on by and watch a movie with me. Looking at the big screen TV that I have, all of a sudden, boom, something popped, and I laughed. And they said, what you laughing at? I said, the TV is shot. They said, what do you mean? I said, that's what a big screen sounds like when it's breathed its last. One of the young men said, well, you can buy another one. You can get some money to buy another one. I said, no, I'm not going to buy another big screen. For what? Here I got to go into the hospital and have, basically, they're going to be digging all up in my heart. What in the world am I doing thinking if I want to see anything, news, or who won a baseball game or whatnot, I can turn on this computer here and see it there. I don't need 56 inches in front of my face to do that. And I told him, I said, see, that's what y'all's problem are. You are into entertaining yourself for nothing. Pick up a book. I can read a book. I can do other things to work on my intellect instead of wasting my time as many people have done. Now, this is what I want to leave with you folk out there. Let's start thinking about those things that are important. And the things that are not important is fun time. And let me first speak to the community that I minister to now, because the straight community, well, they're suffering it too. Y'all party too much. Same thing like the LGBT community. Gay Pride is coming up this June. And I guess y'all proud that you gay? Fine. Celebrate yourself. But still, all this partying, drinking, carousing, and doing things that are unprofitable for us with an insatiable appetite. Now, this is old sage talking. This is wisdom speaking to you, because if you save that money and invest that money into something, I told you this, and I'm going to tell you this again. Lucy and I calculated how much money we put in the organized conventional church. I was Baptist, very conservative. And Lucy and I both believed in giving a tenth and more of our money. We didn't believe in tithing. We just believe in supporting the organization. We've always been heavy contributors to the church. We added up how much money we could have had for ourselves, and we were astonished at the time when we did this. We had given to the church over $400,000 of our money. And when I think about what I could have done with that money in starting a business and helping other people, and hey, I tell you one thing, you wouldn't have all these homeless people around here. You sure wouldn't. And if everybody in the church looked at their money and they didn't give their money to their pastors to fake building funds, to buying these jets and sending them all over the world so they can vacation, why, you trying to keep a job under your foot, but yet you doing things like that. You remember when these women singers was marrying these male preachers and come to find out that the male preachers was gay and on the DL and all that stuff? It's terrible. I think one of the things that we can remember is the Eddie Long scenario. Well, here's the problem. Eddie Long and those young men, the young men's family, knew what was going on and didn't even step in. So the whole church is accountable. And everyone's acting all outraged when this latest guy, I'm not concerned about what any of these people do. People are going to be who and what they are. If you put your faith, trust, reliability, dependability in God and God alone, you will survive any situation that comes your way. Now, I'm not going to use these religious terms, but you got to believe and you got to bind Satan and all that stuff. You can bind anything you want to. Just stop doing what you know is not profitable for you to do. If anything, I recall when God called me to preach, and I only asked God one question. What do you want me to preach? What do you want me to tell him? What do you want me to do? You know what God spoke to my mind? Tell them what I tell you. See, I never wanted to tell people what I felt about what they should do. Well, I think you ought to go out and find a woman. No, if you're not attracted to women, man, do what's in your heart to do. Well, I love men. Well, make sure that you love them and you take care of them and you treat them with respect and dignity. But I'm not going to tell you to do, well, was it like that with you? It's not like that with everybody you meet. All of us are different. And all of us have to work through our particular difficulties. I try to tell young men today, y'all better work on how much money you're going to make in this North American culture that we live in, where you got to have every 30 days money to keep a shelter over your head and some kind of security to take care of you when you or your family fall on bad times. I said, but if you're not making no real money and you're in your 30s, you late, real late. And I'm talking about real money, because I bought this home when I was, 27 years old. Wait, was that 27? 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 27, 28 years old when I bought this home. When my babies were little girls, just walking. Leslie had just started to walk. I never forget. And been in this same home ever since I bought it. What's the matter with you? Oh, honey, we got to move up. We got to do this. Our ancestors wasn't like that. That's the American nightmare. That's why you can walk down 3 houses from my house and they trying to sell a house for $950,000. I asked the realtor, what kind of an idiot would pay that kind of money for? And I knew the people that lived in the house, they were drug dealers.
drug dealers. $1 million?
See, so if you're not making no money, and what I mean, if you're going to get a partner, get a partner. Listen, LGBT, you want a partner? In this state, they've okayed you marrying. In this country, you can marry who you fall in love with. I'm glad they changed that and made it right. See, I need some water to drink. And my throat's been dried out. I didn't think I'd be talking this long and see my throat then got all raspy. But see, now you can marry who you want. Make sure that you can make a monthly payment for the rest of your life. I'd admonish you if you don't believe in higher education, if you don't believe in getting a special trade to do special work, you better find somebody that loves you that's filthy rich, because every 30 days, you got to pay for some shelter. You got to pay for some food. And hustling is not going to get it. And I got to say this to the African-American people. As a black man, growing up in this country, I've always tried to secure my life through working on my end game. Because you see, I'll be moving on. And my daughters can't even collect on my end game. It just stops. When I die, all the money that they sent stops. You need to, those of you that are listening to me, listen to Pastor John, your internet pastor. Work on your end game. Because if you have not worked on the end game, now I don't believe that there's much more time for America. I could be wrong. That's why I said I wanted to live till I'm 95, 100 years old, to see what happens to this experiment, which is now turning out an experiment in terror, because we're being terrorized by our own selves. Our own children are killing our children, and we don't know what to do. You got 50% of the House of Representatives, 50% of the Senate, half of them will not do what they should do because of the gun lobbyists. I don't know how much money these guys are making. I can only imagine millions, because if I were young and healthy, I'd like to buy me a weapon and go out in the desert and shoot at Coke cans too. It's a lot of fun. But when you switch that thing and you look at individuals, not as human beings, but as people that you can get rid of, listen to PJ. Because a lot of these people are being reared and raised and taught by their parents that is on the right. Look here, God gave us this. You see what they did to our monuments. The left and tore down our monuments. We can't even mention Robert E. Lee. We can't mention our founding fathers that set up our way of life, our modus operandi. And so what we're going to do is we're going to filibuster, sabotage, smash everything they put up. And look what they did. They legalized you even marrying a pussycat. You can marry your own mama if you want to. Those are immoral people, and we need to rid ourselves of them. That's the way some people sound on the right. I know what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not going to start hating like some of the people on the left are doing. It was that when those things happen like that, many a time I preach many a story in the Bible. All right, the one that I like the most is when God told the children of Israel, you go on here. I'm going to give you Jericho, because the Jerichoites, like the Moabites and the Ammonites and all the ites, are corrupt because they're throwing their own children in the fire of Moloch and having sex with donkeys and dogs. And God said, we got to get rid of this group, and we got to bring another group of people in that's going to honor God. Now, I can understand the elimination of certain tribes to bring in another tribe if it were a healthy predicament that you're putting in place. But when America comes to an end, these folks just going to start arbitrarily killing. And that's what the gun lobbyists is about. And that's why the right want to keep these people getting money, because they say that the more serious it gets, we have to be able to protect what we have. Now, when we talk about that, they've already tried to warn you with these zombie apocalypse movies where you can just blow people's brains out and stuff like that. It makes killing very easy. Why do you think that 18-year-old boy was able to go into a Texas gun shop, buy those high-powered weapons and the bullets? Didn't the man that sold that kid that gun think and say, now, what is he going to be doing with all this? And he was cutting himself all up, because I know some young people that was going through trauma. They were cutting themselves up. I know some young people personally by name that did that. That's called mental abuse. Because of what was going on in their lives, they could not handle it. And this man sold him two high-powered weapons like that. Now, what the Dems want to do, the Democrats want to outlaw everybody having guns like that. What you going to ask them? What you got this gun for? If they told you the truth, we got them for people like you that's going to try to take our rights away. Because if you move in on our compound here, we going to blow you to kingdom come. That's why we have these guns. That's what they would ask you. And then for those on the left that says, guns don't kill, people do. Wait a minute. Attitudes kill. And sometimes your attitude against the right make them want to kill you. Because you see, you haven't studied world history enough. Everybody is hailing the Red Book by Chairman Mao. How many people did that dude have wiped out? Oh, you don't know. Study North Korea today. What's the matter with you guys? Oh, come on, Pastor John. Preach a nice little do-goody sermon to me. Make me feel good, man. I want to tell you guys something. When I'm dead and gone, and it may not be long, you're going to wish I was here talking to you like this, because you're going to live through this. And as you live through this, you're going to have to choose a side. You know what? I like the way Joshua put it in the Old Testament. Israel had just gotten freed from Egypt in bondage. Man, it took about, 10 million people out of Goshen. Passed through the Red Sea. And then they got to bickering, fussing with each other out there. I see that as the Democrats and the Republicans in the land of the free and the home of the brave. One of the richest continents on the planet, the northern hemisphere of these here United States. The American Indians knew it. That's why it's their land, their homeland. And look at us. We can't even stop our babies from killing our own babies. We've exed God out of everything. And we've got a right to be free to be whoever we want to be, as long as we are not harming the nature of God and defacing his creation. We could live in this nation and do well. I used to be so proud of America. I still am a little bit. But when I look at some of the special documentaries on TV these days about going to our national parks and enjoying it, man, the national parks are eroding. Man, the fires are burning down historical context places where history, where you could, man, people would visit from Europe and other parts of the world and visit America just to go to our national parks. You would ask the average kid in grade school, what is Yosemite? And they say, ooh, I don't know. Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? What's that? I heard about it. Didn't they have a movie about that? Is that near Las Vegas? Now, you want to hear something weird? In my 78 years, I had never physically visited the Grand Canyon. I did drive when I drove to Chicago with my wife. I did drive through some national parks. What was it? What was the name of that national park? The mountains were so high, and there was a lot of Mormons there. And we stopped to eat at a restaurant, and I got a chance to talk with the Mormons. And it was just great driving through that part of the country. A lot of young people have never done that. And now when you go, the geysers are running out of, global warming is tearing up everything where the glaciers are. America used to be a beautiful place. You didn't take no jet to go nowhere. You jumped in that station wagon and took off. And everybody's complaining about the cost of gas. That's easy. Save up one paycheck from both of you if you got a partner. Save up 1 week's paycheck. That'll be the gas for your vacation for a week. Drive that car and go visit the national parks and stay in some little motels out there and enjoy nature. Stop smoking and burning up the forest and understand what God has done for you. You can enjoy life. Oh my goodness, the hour's almost up. That's what I think of when I think of moving on. Now, I have to go in next Saturday for an MRI. They're going to do an MRI of all that. Then they're going to schedule, if I last this long, because there's some bleeding going on the inside of me. And they haven't been able to find out what that's about. So take heed what I'm saying. And if you don't hear from me again, know this. What I'm telling you is directly from God. That is what God would want you to do. Until next time, as my good friend J. Vernon McGee used to say, until next time, God bless you, my beloved. Ha ha! Y'all take care now.